If you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Melanie Niles. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that is also in the description. No other religious group is lied about like the Catholic Church. And anyone who's dealt with Protestants knows that they believe some pretty ridiculous things about Catholics. This can be frustrating since Catholics end up defending the Church against the same accusations over and over again. Now, this is actually the second video I've done on this topic. The first video was called Crazy Things Protestants Believe About Catholics. But it was hardly exhaustive, so I decided to do a part two, and there will most likely be a part three, as there seems to be no end to the ridiculous accusations made against the Catholic Church, its doctrine, and the people who practice the religion. So let's get into it. Here are some more crazy things Protestants believe about Catholics. Few things are more stereotypical than Catholics drinking alcohol, and let's face it, some of that is deserved. Many of the techniques for making alcohol, such as beer and wine, were perfected through the centuries in Catholic monasteries by Catholic monks. And yes, the Catholic Church does not see alcohol consumption as intrinsically evil, but rather as a gift from God. Psalm 104:15 says that God made wine to gladden the hearts of men. However, many of the thou shalt not drink alcohol Christians believe that Catholics do not recognize that getting drunk is a sin. This is not true. The Catholic Church recognizes that getting drunk is objectively mortally sinful. In other words, it could cause a person to lose salvation and spend eternity in hell. The Baltimore Catechism says this: drunkenness is a sin of gluttony, by which a person deprives himself of the use of reason by the excessive taking of intoxicating drink. Deliberate drunkenness is always a mortal sin, if the person be completely deprived of the use of reason by it, but drunkenness that is not intended or desired may be excused from mortal sin. So the Catholic Church's stance on alcohol is this: alcohol use in moderation is not sinful, but drunkenness is. Since the Catholic Church has said that salvation through faith alone is an error and that works play a part in our salvation, Protestants assume that Catholics believe they can earn salvation. This sounds an awful lot like Pelagianism. Pelagius was a 4th century monk who taught that the fall of man did not corrupt human nature and that humans were able to attain perfection in virtue on their own. He was vehemently opposed by St. Augustine, and Pelagianism was condemned as heresy at the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD. It was condemned because it denies man's dependence on God's grace. The correct Catholic position is that baptism and faith are necessary for salvation, but we also must be good servants and obedient to our Lord, who wills us to do good to one another. The Bible is clear that a disobedient servant will be cast into the darkness. God's grace is necessary for us to do good, but we, through our free will, can refuse God's grace. Protestants often bring up a few verses in the Bible from the Apostle Paul, where he says that we are saved by faith apart from works, so that no man may boast. But these are not our works. These are the works of our Lord, and we are but his servants doing his bidding. This is why we have no right to boast, because the works do not belong to us. Christ is clear that if we brag about the works that we have done, we will not receive a reward. Matthew 6:2-4. Thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let the left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. But Christ also makes it clear that if we do not do these works, we will not go to heaven. Matthew 25:31-46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit in his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you invited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. And of course, the only place in the Bible where the phrase faith alone is found is in the book of James, James 2:24. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. But to the Protestants, these two or three passages from Paul that could be interpreted their way but don't have to be trumps even the words of Christ. Yet Paul is the only author of the Bible that the Bible itself warns is easy to misinterpret. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this, as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. The Bible doesn't say that about James or Matthew, only Paul. Isn't it interesting that Protestants think that Paul trumps everyone else? Oh, what did Paul mean when he says that we are saved by faith apart from works? Well, Paul's audience was mainly Jewish. He was talking about the works of the law of Moses. In fact, it even says that in Romans, the verse most often quoted by Protestants, Romans 3:28, For we hold that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Paul was preaching against the Judaizers, those who said that the law of Moses must be maintained. Paul was saying the law does not save you, faith in Jesus does. And that's correct. But faith is an action. If you truly have faith in Jesus, then you will believe him when he says, in Matthew 7:21, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. So no, Catholics do not believe that you can earn your way into heaven. We believe that you must have faith in Jesus and obey him. If we look at a Protestant Bible, we see that there are 66 books. 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books. A Catholic Bible has all the same books as the Protestant Bible plus 7, what Protestants call additional books in the Old Testament, plus additions to the books of Daniel and Esther, making a total of 73 books. Protestants claim that their Bible is the real Bible and that the Catholic Church added those books to the Bible at the Council of Trent in the 16th century to justify its doctrines of purgatory and indulgences. But is this true? Or did the Protestants remove books to justify their denial of the doctrine of purgatory? Because somebody messed with how many books are in the Bible. So let's take a short trip through history to find out who. Those extra books and additions to Daniel and Esther come from the Greek Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament commissioned by the Jewish temple about 200 years before Christ. This was the Old Testament of the early church. We know this because the early church fathers tell us, and the vast majority of Old Testament quotes in the New Testament are unquestionably from the Septuagint. However, sometime between the end of the 1st through the 3rd century, the Jews got rid of the Septuagint and set their Old Testament to the 39 books found in both Catholic and Protestant Bibles, getting rid of those, quote, extra books. This sparked a debate in the church as to whether or not the church should do the same. The matter was settled at the end of the 4th and the beginning of the 5th century when 4 councils and 3 popes affirmed the number of books to be in the Bible was in fact 73, 27 books in the New Testament and 46 in the Old Testament, including the 7 books and additions to Esther and Daniel. You can see this for yourself by Googling List of Books in the Bible, Council of Carthage, 397 AD. Several websites, including Wikipedia and Protestant websites, will pop up. You'll have to do some research on what some of the phrases mean. It doesn't list all the individual books. For instance, it says 5 books of Moses, those are the first 5 books of the Bible, and 2 books of Ezra, which are Ezra and Nehemiah. 4 of the books in question are explicitly listed, and Augustine says that the, quote, 5 books of Solomon contains 2 more. Well, that's 6. Take into account that the book of Jeremiah had what today is known as Jeremiah Lamentations, the letter of Jeremiah and Baruch, and we have all 7, quote, extra books and a total of 46. Although this did set the canon of Scripture at 73 books, it was official and binding, and several councils confirmed the list throughout the centuries, including the Council of Florence from 1431 to 1439. It wasn't done dogmatically until the Council of Trent. At Trent, the Church infallibly and dogmatically canonized the books of Scripture that were already there. It was Martin Luther in the 16th century who declared these books were not Scripture. Then all the Protestants followed suit, with the French Confession of Faith in 1558, the Belgic Confession in 1561, the Westminster Confession of Faith in 1647, and the Second Helvetic Confession in 1562. So you tell me, did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible in the 16th century, or did Protestants remove them? According to Protestants, the second commandment reads, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any engraven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth." However, according to the Catholic Church, the second commandment is, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." So what gives? Why is the second commandment different in the Catholic Church? Did the Catholic Church remove the prohibition against graven images in order to commit idolatry? No. What Protestants consider to be the second commandment is part of the first commandment in the Catholic Church. The Protestant list reads, 1. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and 2. Thou shalt make no graven image. The Catholic list reads, 1. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt make no graven image, and 2. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Oh, and by the way, this is reflected in the Catechism. In all catechisms, the Catechism of John Paul II, the Baltimore Catechism, the Roman Catechism, etc., thou shalt make no graven image is explicitly there. The whole first commandment of the Catholic list of Ten Commandments is laid out. The evangelical Protestant leaders who claim otherwise are lying. Do lies come from the Holy Spirit? No, they come from the devil. But why the difference? Well, the Bible does not say Ten Commandments other than the heading which was added much later. The Bible just says these are the commandments. Some of the modern Bibles have messed around with the wording in order to come up with 10, but if we add up the thou shalls and thou shalt nots from Exodus chapter 20 in the Douay Rheims and King James versions, which were the first official English translations of the Bible for Catholics and Protestants, we don't come up with 10, we come up with 12. And honor thy father and mother isn't one of them. It doesn't say thou shalt honor your mother and father, it just says honor your mother and father. Religious leaders took the first several commandments and arranged them into a list of 10 to make them easy to remember. This list has evolved over time, and different traditions have different arrangements. The Catholic Church opted for the list of St. Augustine, which takes the commandments of both Exodus and Deuteronomy into consideration, not just the list from Exodus. Now, this last one is my favorite. I touched on it in the last video, but it wasn't its own category, though I think it deserves to be. And I guarantee any Protestants watching has made this assumption at some point during the course of this video. Protestants assume that Catholics labor under the same misconceptions about Catholicism that they do. I know it makes no sense, but they all do it. Otherwise, smart, rational people make this idiotic, irrational assumption based on no evidence. It usually manifests itself when we Catholics correct the false assumptions Protestants have. The Protestant will say something like, "Yes, but how many Catholics know that?" Why would you assume Catholics don't know what the Catholic Church teaches? Now, I'm not talking about the finer points of doctrine. I'm talking about the really crazy claims like Catholics worship Mary, the Pope is Christ on earth, purgatory is a second chance, all the things in this and my other video that no Catholic believes. Hundreds of millions of Catholics go to Catholic schools. Those who don't go to PSR or some other acronym that is the Catholic equivalent of Sunday school, but somehow they're not taught even the basics of Catholic belief. If you're confirmed, and by the way, once you reach a certain age, you are no longer Catholic if you're not confirmed, but that means that you at least went through First Communion and Confession, as well as Confirmation Catechism classes. In America, before the Second Vatican Council, in many parts of the country, you had to memorize, mind you, the entire Baltimore Catechism before you could be confirmed. This tendency for Protestants, once they've been shown that their beliefs about Catholicism are incorrect, To assume that Catholics believe these errors as well is a form of cognitive dissonance. When your worldview is threatened, even in the face of irrefutable evidence, our subconscious refuses to accept that it's wrong and fights to maintain it. Now, I will give you this. Since the Second Vatican Council, most Catholics don't know the Catholic faith sufficiently, although they know this stuff is wrong. But that doesn't result in Catholics believing these misconceptions. If anything, they end up with a more Protestant ideology. They don't pray to Mary or confess their sins to a priest or believe in the real presence. It's the exact opposite of what these Protestants assume. Until my next video, God bless.